The Romanov family was the last imperial dynasty to rule Russia. They first came to power in 1613, and over the next three centuries, 18 Romanovs took the Russian throne, including Peter the Great, Catherine the Great, Alexander I, and Nicholas II. During the Russian Revolution of 1917, Bolshevik revolutionaries toppled the monarchy, ending the Romanov dynasty. Tsar Nicholas II and his entire family, including his young children, were later executed by Bolshevik troops. Led by Vladimir Lenin, the Bolsheviks would later become the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. This revolution of 1917 and the civil war that followed was one of the most explosive political events of the 20th century, slaughtering between 30 to 50 million Russians in one of the cruelest and most violent genocides in recorded world history. The Bolsheviks were a radical, far-left, and Marxist faction that eliminated any resistance, occupied government buildings and other strategic locations, then making Lenin dictator of the world's first communist state. This bloody Russian Revolution paved the way for the rise of communism as an influential political belief system around the world, spreading to places like China, which had its own Marxist revolution with estimates of 80 million deaths, ushering in the People's Republic of China. Whether we're talking about China or Russia, Marxist revolutions start the same way, with an effort to divide the population and pit them against each other. This can be done by race, gender, or class, but we'll always focus on perceived inequalities in society with promises of a more fair, just, and egalitarian distribution of wealth and resources among the citizens. While this sounds good on paper, especially in places where extreme discrepancies exist in a society's standard of living, the new order never delivers on its promises and eventually resembles the old order, except with power changing hands to a less competent and ineffective form of totalitarian rule. Lenin died in 1924, starting a power struggle which ended with Joseph Stalin seizing power. He was the leader of the Communist Party until 1953 and conducted the Great Purge to remove opponents of his dominance. Stalin died in 1953 and the Soviet Union went through a de-Stalinization under the new leader Nikita Khrushchev, though his attempts to improve the lives of ordinary citizens were often ineffective. Khrushchev ruled through the years of the Cold War, and Brezhnev was appointed leader in 1964. The Soviet Union finally collapsed in 1991 under Mikhail Gorbachev, who removed the constitutional role of the Communist Party, but it remains as the second largest political party after United Russia, which is headed by Vladimir Putin, who recently expressed his thoughts on Marxism in a historic context of his nation and how it relates to current global events. We look in amazement at the processes underway in the countries, which have been traditionally looked at as the standard bearers of progress. Of course, the social and cultural shocks that are taking place in the United States and the Western Europe are none of our business. We are keeping out of this. Some people in the West believe that an aggressive elimination of entire pages from their own history, reverse discrimination against the majority of the interests of a minority, and the demand to give up the traditional notions of mother, father, family, and even gender. They believe that all of these are the mileposts on the path towards social renewal. The advocates of so-called social progress believe they are introducing humanity to some kind of a new and better consciousness. Godspeed, hoist the flags, as we say. Go right ahead. The only thing that I want to say now is that their prescriptions are not new at all. It may come as a surprise to some people, but Russia has been there already. After the 1917 revolution, the Bolsheviks, relying on the dogmas of Marx and Engels, also said that they would change existing ways and customs. And not just political and economic ones, but the very notion of human morality and the foundations of a healthy society. The destruction of age-old values, religion, and relations between people, up to and including the total rejection of family, We had that too. Encouragement to informed on loved ones. All this was proclaimed progress and, by the way, was widely supported around the world back then and was quite fashionable, same as today. The fight for equality and against discrimination has turned into aggressive dogmatism bordering on absurdity. When the works of the great authors of the past, such as Shakespeare, are no longer taught at schools or university because their ideas are believed to be backward, the classics are declared backward and ignorant of the importance of gender or race. In Hollywood, memos are distributed about the proper storytelling and how many characters of what color or gender should be in a movie. This is even worse than the agitprop department of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Countering acts of racism is a necessary and noble cause, but the new cancel culture has turned it into reverse discrimination, that is, reverse racism. The obsessive emphasis on race is further dividing people, when the real fighters for civil rights dreamed precisely about erasing differences and refusing to divide people by skin color. I specifically asked my colleagues to find the following quote from Martin Luther King. "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by their character." This is the true value. However, things are turning out differently there. By the way, the absolute majority of Russian people do not think that the color of a person's skin or their gender is an important matter. Each of us is a human being. That is what matters. In a number of Western countries, the debate over men's and women's rights has turned into a perfect phantasmagoria. Zealots of these new approaches even go so far as to want to abolish these concepts altogether. Anyone who dares mention that men and women actually exist, which is a biological fact, risk being ostracized. Parent number one and parent number two, birthing parent instead of mother and human milk, replacing breast milk, because it might upset the people who are unsure about their own gender. I repeat, this is nothing new. In the 1920s, the so-called Soviet Kulturkriegers also invented some new speak, believing they were creating a new consciousness and changing values that way. Not to mention some truly monstrous things when children are taught from an early age that a boy can easily become a girl and vice versa. That is, the teachers actually impose on them a choice we all supposedly have. They do so while shutting the parents out of the process and forcing the child to make decisions that can upend their entire life. They do not even bother to consult with the child's psychologist. Is a child at this age even capable of making a decision of this kind? Calling a spade, this verges on a crime against humanity, and it's being done in the name and under the banner of progress. Well, if someone likes this, let them do it. I've already mentioned that in shaping our approaches, we will be guided by a healthy conservatism. That was a few years ago, when passions on the international arena were not yet running as high as they are now, although, of course, we can say that clouds were gathering even then. Now, when the world is going through a structural disruption, the importance of reasonable conservatism as the foundation for a political course has skyrocketed, precisely because of the multiplying risks and dangers and the fragility of the reality around us. President Vladimir Putin says that woke ideology is destroying Western civilization, condemning far-left progressivism, and compared it to Russia's darkest days during the 1917 Bolshevik Communist Revolution, in which the Soviets seized the means of production and overthrew the government. Most Western, and especially American, students are not taught about the Marxist tactics that ushered in communism and the mass death toll that inevitably comes with it. Instead, they're taught critical race theory, which is Afrocentric propaganda that is not about bringing about equality, but rather demonizing and vilifying one demographic in an effort to eradicate an existing power structure and bring about its collapse. Family values, religion, race, gender, morality, and nationalism is described as a threat by Hollywood, the media, and academia. And this is amplified in historic accounts of 20th century Germany, which was facing the same genocide that had just decimated the Russian people. Statues were being removed in Germany by Antifa, the same militant Marxist organization that is rioting and removing statues in the United States, And it was this far-left extremism which brought about the rise of the Nationalist Party there, which is left out of modern history textbooks. Why did Hitler really hate the Jews? What did he want from them? How did they bother him? But it's all written here in Mein Kampf. This book was published only recently. It just got approved to be translated to Hebrew. It was forbidden all these years. But there's an earlier translation. It was made by Yad Vashem. They were allowed to. Hitler claims in his book that the Jews are communists. They made the Russian Revolution. They killed their 30 million Russians, all the intelligent ones, in a cruel and horrific way. And that's their plan for the entire world. The next country in line is Germany. They founded the German Communist and Socialist parties, and it's true. If we don't defeat them now, they will eliminate us, and they will slaughter another 20 million, all the intelligent people. And that's how they want, from country to country. So eventually, the only intelligent ones remaining would be the Jews. And he repeats it many times. Make no mistake. And he is right. The Russian Revolution was made by the Jews. The Russian army was built by Trotsky, who was an incredible genius and anti-Semite like no other. He created the Jewish division of the Communist Party, which members informed on their father, mother, brother, and son. Whoever owns a siddur, or even a Hebrew learning book. I'm not even talking about Teflim or Mikvah. He destroyed everything, also by the Jews, but for sure by the Russians. In the first picture of the Russian government, out of 13 members, 6 were Jews. Who founded the KGB? Jews. So everything is clearly written. He didn't hate the Jews because they had pios. He didn't hate them for observing mitzvot. Because they are communists. And he writes it clearly. The Jews destroyed religion and faith. They spread in Germany the heresy in God. That's how he writes. I feel like the messenger of God to exterminate the Jews because they don't believe in him. He writes this right here. Now you understand why they don't teach it in schools? Because who writes the curriculum? Those same leftists. Of course they do not write that Hitler wanted to kill the Jews, because they are the forefathers of the left, and the forefathers of Marxism, Communism, and Leninism. But that's what he writes. They destroyed all the values, poisoned literature and theater. Who did it? Torah observant Jews poisoned the German theater? Out of 9 large German newspapers, 7 were owned by Jews. So do you understand why it's forbidden here to teach about him? And what he says?